You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome to the show, everyone. Good day, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, June 2nd, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be the debut of our new third-year lineup. That's right, today starts our third year as an independent marijuana media talk radio phenomenon, and we're so glad you could be here. You may notice the intro is shorter, the disclaimer is gone. You're going to find a whole lot more content packed into this one-hour show. We've shortened up the advertisement breaks as well, and we're bringing on a new newsreader, a volunteer intern from Colorado State University. Please welcome to the show, Priscilla. How you doing, Priscilla?
I'm great. Thanks, Russ. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you got involved here. Tell folks what you're doing at Colorado State.
Well, Colorado State, I'm studying for business. Definitely want to make an impression in the cannabis community now that all these entrepreneurs are coming out of the woodworks. So I plan on jumping on that.
All right. Looking forward to that. We're looking forward to you reading the news for us in our next segment. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, right on.
All right. And also on today's show, it's our regularly scheduled cannabis Q&A segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He'll be calling in and you can ask your live questions of him on our phone line at 971-533-7111. Or you can join our chat room. It's available through Ustream and you can get it at our 420radio.org page. Look for the buttons at the top. You'll find a bunch of them that say chat room and you can join in there and ask your questions that way if you prefer. Also on the show today in the Radical Rant segment, we're going to get a chance to speak with a good friend of mine named Joy Beckerman Marr. She's up there with the Washington Hemp Industries Association, the Normal Women's Alliance, and doing a lot of great work up there in the Puget Sound area. She is joining us to talk in her capacity as the president of Hemp Ace International to tell us a little bit about this week's fifth annual Hemp History Week. That's right, June 2nd through June 8th, it's Hemp History Week here in America, and all week long there's going to be all sorts of things you can learn about industrial hemp in this country. We just got some great industrial hemp planted up there in Kentucky after they fought hard against the DEA to get that crop planted. We'll keep you informed on all of that, and Joy will tell you about all sorts of websites and a screening of a new movie on industrial hemp that you can catch up there in Seattle on the 7th. She'll tell you all about the screening and how you can attend. It'll also have an expert panel for Q&A and a hands-on workshop, so we're looking forward to that. Also on the show today, we'll have time to go behind the headlines, and we're taking a look at testimony from former prosecutors up on Capitol Hill last Friday, where they claim that the war on drugs is race neutral. Can you? Yeah, can't believe anybody would dare to say that these days who's looked at the statistics, but Yes, it's terrible. We will talk about that in Behind the Headlines. And also, don't forget, with our new lineup, we are moving the Daily Toker Tunes to Hour 2. So in Hour 2, we'll get our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes call in from Bacon Dan. He's got something very interesting for us. I can't even pronounce the name of it, so I'm going to just wait for him to introduce that in Hour 2. Thanks for joining us here on 420radio.org. If you'd like to advertise with our show, check out 420radio.org and our advertise link on the top menu. We also get by with the support of our VIP members just like you, who support us for as little as $4.20 a month. You can check that out by going to 420radio.org and click on VIP memberships up there at the top. When we come back, Priscilla will be up with the 420 Radio news and my commentary right after this break.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net. 420radio.org is proud to replay the Hot Box podcast with Matt Lee and Ian Baker from Kalispell, Montana. The Hot Box is a weekly talk show focused on the failed war on drugs, mainly cannabis, dissecting the latest mainstream marijuana news, medical cannabis legislation, and everything else weed-related, from growing to smoking and everything in between. Catch the replays Thursday at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
I'm Priscilla Solis. The newly legal marijuana market in Uruguay got a big boost yesterday when Senator Jorge Laranga lost his party's presidential primary. Senator Laranga is the leading opponent of the marijuana legalization scheme instituted this year by President Jose Mujica, saying before the primary, quote, "We're going to overturn this law that legalized marijuana growing. Nobody plant anything. Don't plant anything because we're going to knock it down." End quote. The winner of the right-wing National Party's primary was Congressman Luis Lacalipo, who said he would leave much of the legalization program intact, but open it up to private enterprise. Other candidates include the center-left Broad Front Party's Tabate Vasquez, a former president of Uruguay, who is considered the leading candidate, and Senator Pedro Bordaberry of the center-right, who is also against marijuana legalization, but considered the dark horse in the race.
All right, Priscilla, we got to give it to you. The first story out of the gate, you got Spanish name pronunciation up for 100 points, and you win. Congratulations. I should have guessed with a name like Solis, though, your pronunciations would be better than mine, huh? Well, this is great news that Jose Mujica's party here, it looks like Mujica's not going to stay on, and they're trying to select someone to be his replacement. Three different candidates here, and that right-wing National Party winner looks like he's the guy who's got the best chance going on here. So the two guys with the best chance of winning, they sound like they want to keep the marijuana program intact and maybe even expand it a bit. I like the idea of opening it up to private enterprise. If you've heard about Uruguay's program, they're basically it's a state-run monopoly of five government marijuana strains, and you have to register as a citizen of Uruguay. You'd have to go register with the government to be able to use any of them, get your fingerprints taken, and be tracked for how much use that you had purchased, how much marijuana you had purchased over a two-week period. It's really, really controlling, kind of Big Brother-esque. So if that candidate Luis Lacalpo, I guess is his name. If he wins and moves to further privatize the marijuana market there in Uruguay, I see that as only a good thing for those of us here in America.
Cannabis entrepreneurs are sprouting like weeds in Florida. As the state prepares for November to vote on question two, a constitutional amendment that would legalize medical use of marijuana, prospective marijuana businessmen are paying tuition at schools like Medical Marijuana Tampa, Cannabis University of Florida in Jacksonville, and seminars such as the Traveling Cannabis Career Institute. There are already over 100 businesses listed in Florida with names including cannabis or marijuana, all seeking to service what are expected to be almost 420,000 potential qualifying patients who will need an estimated 1,800 dispensaries. Gross revenues in medical marijuana sales are expected to bring in $27 million per week. The latest polls show medical marijuana support at 88%, and the measure needs 60% to pass. The primary opponents of question two include the Florida Sheriff's Association, the Florida Medical Association, and the Florida Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, Priscilla, I can tell you, I was just down in Florida just last month, and the business that's growing there around what's going to be the second largest medical marijuana state in America, it's already huge. Bobby Platshorn's put on a couple of seminars called Meet the Experts down there, and he's preparing a third. The first two were sold out, just wall-to-wall people getting ready for that green rush in Florida. This third seminar, I believe, is happening in the middle of July. I think it's 17 and 18, but check out floridamarijuanaconference.com, and you can find out more information on that. And if Bobby's putting it on, I will do my best to make it out there. Perhaps I'll get a chance to present and bring you more information from the growing green rush in the Sunshine State.
California state wildlife officials are blaming commercial marijuana growing for draining streams during this year's devastating drought. Scott Bauer, a biologist with the state, was curious about streams in four key watersheds that have been running dry more often since Californians passed the Compassionate Use Act legalizing medical use of marijuana. Quote, "We knew people were diverting water for marijuana operations, but we wanted to know exactly how much," Bauer told the Denver Post. Quote, "We didn't know they would consume all the water in a stream." Bauer used Google Maps data of medical marijuana grows and estimated about 30,000 cannabis plants were growing, being grown in each river stream system, each using 6 gallons of water per day for 150-day growing cycle. Fish and Wildlife Lieutenant John Norris told the Post, quote, "Whether it's grown quasi-legally under the state's medical marijuana laws or it's a complete cartel outdoor drug trafficking site, there is extreme environmental damage being done on all levels."
Yeah, this drought in California has been a monster. I was seeing some pictures the other day on the internet. One of their one of the lakes up there, I can't remember the lake, but it was 17% capacity. It just, they show you the before and the after pictures. And one of the things that they're finding now is that all these reservoirs, of course, a lot of these are man-made. And so there were settlements and there were human activities down there before they filled up with water. And so now that the drought has come and the water table has gone so low, it's actually uncovering old gold and silver mines. It's uncovering old Mormon pioneer settlements. So you got all these archaeologists and now miners. So miners are actually coming back in saying, "Hey, let's check out this and see if we can get some more silver or gold out of this thing now that it's not underwater." So I guess there's your silver lining, pardon the pun,
on that. Gold lining.
Yeah, pardon the pun on that one. But the problem here is that we've got the outdoor marijuana grows. They're certainly going to consume water. I mean, you can't argue with those stats about 6 gallons of water per day per plant for a 150-day grow cycle. That's a lot of water to be used. But what happens is these counties like Lake County and some of these other northern counties, they want to pass these moratoriums or bans on outdoor grows. We're going to completely ban outdoor growing. Well, guess what, guys? The outdoor growing is not going to go away if you ban it. It's just going to go more underground. It's going to go more clandestine. They're going to do more damage to the environment trying to farm it that way and still use up the same amount of water. The proper response to this is regulation and legalization so that we can properly ration out the water to those legit growers out there. So long as marijuana remains prohibited, there's always going to be this huge profit incentive to grow it regardless of what the prohibitions on it are. If we legalize and regulate this, at least we have some measure of control, and perhaps we can better allocate these water resources to the farmers of both food crops and marijuana.
Right. An attempt to find the taxation of marijuana at the state level illegal in federal court has been challenged by Washington's Attorney General. The lawsuit filed by Attorney Douglas Hyatt on behalf of Martin Nickerson seeks to defend Nickerson from charges stemming from his operation of a medical marijuana dispensary in Bellingham. Hyatt argues that the state cannot collect taxes from Nickerson without Nickerson admitting to the violation of federal law, an argument Hyatt believes shows that the state of Washington is violating Nickerson's Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Hyatt also believes that if his argument is successful, Washington and Colorado's taxation of recreational marijuana could be found unconstitutional. A similar Fifth Amendment argument was used by Dr. Timothy Leary in 1969 at the U.S. Supreme Court, which found the Medical Marijuana Tax Act unconstitutional. The state attorney general has filed a motion to the U.S. district judge to have the case moved down to the state court.
Yeah, of course the state attorney general wants to move this down to state court, because then you eliminate that whole Fifth Amendment issue and the point would be moot. This is basically them trying to get around even dealing, having the federal courts deal with that question. Now, the history on this, of course, the Marijuana Tax Act originally made marijuana illegal at the federal level by saying if you had any marijuana that didn't have a tax stamp on it, you were breaking tax laws and they could bust you for that. So the way that you got your tax stamp was to bring your marijuana into the tax assessor's office, who would weigh it and then give you a stamp. Only problem is, as soon as you walked through that door with that untaxed marijuana, you were breaking the law. Timothy Leary argued in 1969 that was unconstitutional because our Fifth Amendment says we have a right against self-incrimination. We shouldn't be forced to incriminate ourselves for a crime. And if the government forces you to bring in criminal marijuana to not be a criminal, that's, you know, kind of against your Fifth Amendment rights. And that's how that got struck down. But while this is a novel legal argument, I'm afraid there's a few problems with it. Number one, we're dealing with state versus federal issues. And there's been a number of cases that have determined that the states can tax things that are illegal, even at the state level. This is how they, you know, bust people on all sorts of criminal activities. They'll pile on tax charges for racketeering and all of that. And we live in a different legal and constitutional landscape than we did back in 1969 when Timothy Leary tried that defense. There's been a number of Controlled Substances Act Supreme Court cases that I think will come to bear on this. But it's an interesting legal argument, and I really wish it would stay in the federal court so we could see how it would be solved.
Thousands of Chileans marched Sunday through the city of Santiago demanding the legalization of marijuana. Pot was smoked openly as the people called out the example of their South American neighbor, Uruguay, and implored the Chilean government to follow suit. One marcher named Lara told the Associated Press, quote, "I'm marching because I want an old age without pain. I want to have a quiet old age, and I believe that marijuana is an alternative or remedy for pain and illness," end quote. Another marcher, Gustavo, told reporters, quote, "We are marching for a new drug policy so consumers are not criminalized and drug traffickers are criminalized," end quote. The demonstrators demanded the legalization of marijuana, decriminalization of consumption, including the right to grow marijuana for personal use.
Well, that's great news. And I kind of predicted that, you know, once Uruguay had moved forward with their marijuana legalization, the other neighbors there in South America are going to have to respond to it. Much like, you know, we legalize in Colorado and Washington, the states around them are having to respond to it. And it's good to see that the people are out there marching for their rights to this, and also that they're putting a premium on the right to grow marijuana for their own home personal use. We want to see that spread as we see legalization spread across the world.
Yep. Liam Payne, one of the members of the British boy band One Direction, has apologized on Twitter for the recent video showing two other members, Zayn Malik and Lewis Tomlinson, smoking marijuana. Quote, "I love my boys, and maybe things have gone a little sideways. I apologize for that," wrote Payne. Quote, "We are only in our 20s, and we all do stupid things at that age," end quote. The 5-minute video of the two bandmates showed them riding through the streets of Lima, Peru. Tomlinson is heard saying, quote, "So here we are, leaving Peru, joint lit, happy days," end quote. He then asks Malik, quote, "What do you think about that kind of content?" end quote. And Malik responds, "Very controversial."
All right. So I don't know anything about One Direction. Priscilla, you got anything on One Direction? You listen to them at all?
Zero.
Okay. Well, you know, these guys are stars. I guess they're selling millions and millions of albums. It's not surprising. We just find that more and more of these young performers, you know, Rihanna, Lady Gaga, lots of them here are embracing marijuana use, unafraid, unashamed to say that they're marijuana users. I think it's kind of sad that this guy has to come back and make some sort of apology for it. But considering their audience and how many teenagers and young girls are going to be in love with them, I guess, you know, their record label perhaps makes them do it. Maybe there's some pressure from their management, something like that. But we're going to see more and more of this from all sorts of walks of life, all sorts of entertainers. And it's just really enjoyable to me when you know that 2 out of 3 young people, 2 out of 3 millennials support marijuana legalization. It's just a matter of old guys like me dying before it's legal all over the place. Oh, wait. That sound means it's 20 after. Time for us to take a break. Priscilla, I don't know. You're new, so I don't know if you know we have a special union requirement to take a break at 20 after. Are you with me?
Yeah, it's 420 here.
It's 420 for you. You have to take a break. All right. Thanks so much, Priscilla. Great first news day. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks for having me. See you tomorrow.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And today I want to talk about something that I'd seen in the news late Friday, too late to get on the last show. But it was a former prosecutor who was telling Congress that the drug war is, quote, race neutral. Yeah. All right. Well, let me give you some statistics on the race neutrality of the drug war. According to federal government surveys, on an annual basis, 14.4% of African Americans and 12.4% of European Americans use marijuana. Just 1.6% of blacks and 1.9% of whites use cocaine annually in America. And barely 0.1% of blacks and 0.4% of whites use heroin. Only 0.4% of blacks and 1.4% of whites use stimulants, including meth, every year. And yet, blacks are almost 3.25 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession than whites. It takes an ounce, or 28 grams, of crack cocaine, the kind of cocaine favored in black neighborhoods, to trigger a 5-year mandatory minimum prison sentence. But you need a half kilogram, or 500 kilograms of powder cocaine, favored in the white suburbs, to get that same sentence. While black people make up just 14% of all drug users, black people make up 37% of all people arrested for drug use. So it's a bit shocking to me to read that report in the Huffington Post that a former North Carolina assistant U.S. attorney named Eric Evanson told Congress, quote, "The laws are race neutral. I've never prosecuted anybody on the basis of race," end quote. He said that in testimony to the House Judiciary Committee. He also said, quote, quite frankly, I am personally offended when I hear charges of racism, end quote. You know, because prosecutors like him, quote, represent poor communities of color who are sick and tired of that drug trafficker abiding by that kind of behavior in the district, end quote. Now, Huffington Post noted that when Representative Steve Cohen of Tennessee pointed out the disparity in arrests by race for drugs in this country, like I just did, Evanson replied, quote, I cannot argue the statistics. All I can tell you is that we have prosecuted wherever the evidence led us, end quote. Well, apparently the evidence leads to black neighborhoods far more often than white neighborhoods. Now, Evanson was there speaking for the National Association of Assistant U.S. Attorneys, which of course opposes Eric Holder, our attorney general. They oppose Eric Holder's attempts to rein in mandatory minimum sentencing laws. These sentencing laws, of course, have led to a skyrocketing prison population with no meaningful results in reducing drug dealing and abuse. Now, of course, fearing the loss of the threat of mandatory minimums as a prosecutorial tool, Evanson complained that, quote, we will not be able to go after the biggest drug dealers, end quote. Evanson was joined by former federal prosecutor William Otis, who claimed that, quote, what works is what we've done for the last 30 years. What fails is what we had in the 1960s and 70s, when we had a feckless and unrealistic belief in rehabilitation and not really a belief in incarceration, end quote. Well, it appears Otis can't argue the statistics either, since what works has turned America into the largest prison state in world history. The United States has just 5% of the world's population, but almost a quarter of the world's imprisoned, with half of those prisoners only there because of the war on drugs. And yet, drugs are more pure, more available, and cheaper than they were in the 1960s and 1970s. And I'm also bothered when Otis says we had an unrealistic belief in rehabilitation. I'm not unrealistic in believing that rehabilitation can work if we change it from locking people up in cages and forcing them to live a life of crime after they get out. This insane addiction to the war on drugs. And now, 40 years later, when the people have seen the devastation, seen the results or lack thereof, and have turned away from it to the point where only 7% of the United States voting population supports the war on drugs and thinks it's having a good effect. These guys are still stuck in the 20th century. All right, we need to take a break. And when we come back, we'll have Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the line for our cannabis Q&A.
Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org.
Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319.
420radio.org is proud to replay Drug Policy Facts with Doug McVeigh from Portland, Oregon.
Hosted by the editor of Drug War Facts, this show is a wealth of information for seekers of truth in the drug policy debates. Catch the replays Friday at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for our Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch. We're still trying to get Dr. Mitch on the line. It's dialing out as I'm looking at it. I hope you're enjoying our new lineup and new segments here on the Russ Belville Show. We are starting our third year of independent broadcasting here from 420radio.org. We've shortened up the segments and shortened up the lengthened the segments and shortened up the advertising to try to give you more of the experience that you are looking for here on 420 Radio. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem as if Dr. Mitch is going to be able to answer, so we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll fill in with a radical rant. Stay tuned.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
What time did you get up this morning?
I don't remember. I don't know. 3 o'clock.
And what did you do today?
I don't know. Nothing, I guess.
When was the last time you had a girlfriend?
When was the last time you had a job?
When
was
the last time you had dinner with a family? When was the last time you smoked pot?
Danny. Danny, wake up. Come on, Danny. It's time to go to work. Danny, wake up. It's time to go to work.
Don't let pot slap you around. Wake up.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
You can't handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law. 10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning of the words we, the
people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Well, folks, I was going to go on to the rant, but it turns out I found the number for Dr. Mitch. He's got a different number he's at today, and we're going to get him connected here in just a moment. So we're doing it
live. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back. We got Dr. Mitch on the line. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Oh, my lip was numb when I emailed you, but I'm fine now.
Yeah. Dr. Mitch has some dental work today. I was afraid I'm going to call you up and it'd be like you'd be on Novocaine. We wouldn't be able to understand you.
So far, I'm relatively articulate.
All right, sounding good. All right, so I wanted to get your take on a few things. We got questions coming in from our chat room, and folks, remember, you can get your questions in on chat, or you can dial us live at 971-533-7111. But a few things I was thinking of, and first one I wanted to get your take on, was the state of Minnesota. Governor Mark Dayton just signed the medical marijuana law there, but it not only doesn't allow marijuana smoking, it doesn't allow patients to access the bud itself, no plant access. So some folks in the chat room were asking, do we count this as a medical marijuana state when essentially GW Pharmaceuticals could provide everything they need?
Unfortunately, I just can't call that a medical marijuana state if you can't actually have the plant. I feel like I'm a big fan of, you know, 50 states or 50 different laboratories, but here we have a really misinformed interpretation of what medical marijuana is all about. If they're concerned about respiratory irritation, we've got tons of data now suggesting the vaporizer is completely safe as far as that concerned. And then what are they going to really do in order to treat folks who need rapid relief from, say, nausea or vomiting or something like that? They're really going to be at a disadvantage relative to states where inhaled vaporized plant material is available.
Yeah, they'll let them vaporize oil, which seems odd to me that they would allow them to inhale the more potent variety and not the flower. In fact, some patients are saying it won't work for them because the oil would get them too high.
And I don't think informed people really got to speak out on this in a way that legislators could hear. So, in a sense, we were using the thing that we have less data on than the thing that we have literally five millennia of safety data on.
Exactly. It's how backwards these things get as they, you know, bend over trying to appease law enforcement. That seems to be the driver on this one, don't you think?
Sad but true, and I feel like this anti-plant sentiment is something that might catch on in other states, and I'm really hoping we can nip it in the bud, if you don't mind the expression.
Don't mind it at all. And, you know, Dr. Mitch is also the chairman of the Normal Board of Directors, and I know y'all have to be ecstatic about the passage of the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment out there at the U.S. Congress. What can you tell us?
I was pretty delighted to see that essentially the DEA won't have money to go bust medical marijuana dispensaries in medical marijuana states. Always a little apprehensive with these because I really felt like DOJ had gotten a message from Obama before saying don't do this, and it was still happening. So I wanted to rejoice, but I wanted to rejoice lightly, shall we say.
Okay. All right, we got some questions coming in from our chat room now. Speed Limit wants to know, can and will dabs lead to a pot zombie epidemic and jeopardize the legalization movement?
I just had a paper come out with my student Mallory Laughlin suggesting that there really aren't a lot of problems associated with dabs that we had anticipated, so we're not getting people burning themselves or things like that at a rate that's really meaningful. We are seeing slight development of tolerance that's more rapid with dabs than with flower cannabis. If that's enough to get, you know, the entire society afraid, then I certainly am worried about it. But I feel like it's just not going to create the zombies that everybody has been fearing.
Yeah. And what about, you know, the explosions that seem to come along with these? It seems to be it's almost like the media is trying to fan these stories to produce a backlash. Do you think that's happening?
Sad but true, if it bleeds, it leads. If it's on fire, it seems to lead. And so when we get these rather infrequent accidents, we do end up getting a whole lot of coverage. But I'm anticipating that people are going to get better at the process and that these things are going to be rarer and rarer.
All right, we got a great question here from Runaround who asks, if using cannabis to stimulate the endocannabinoid system is... I just lost it, scrolled away on me. Let me. If using cannabis to stimulate the endocannabinoid system can help treat certain ailments, can't an underperforming endocannabinoid system be the cause of certain ailments?
In fact, Bob Malamede has hypothesized this in a really nice paper in Harm Reduction Journal, and it suggests that, in fact, an imbalance, either overactivity or underactivity may be the source of a number of different disorders, ranging from, you know, psychological symptoms with anxiety to some pretty outrageous and hypothetical immunosuppression problems. So it's curious, but we're not going to find out until we really have an opportunity to do this kind of research, and I'm certainly eager to have that happen.
All right. And we have a question now from Left Wing Larry, who says, my cholesterol has dropped 77 points in the last 6 months. This also pretty much corresponds with his moving from Florida to here to Portland, Oregon. He wants to know, could this be due to my increased cannabis use?
It's relatively unlikely. I'm guessing that a move to Oregon also tended to decrease his meat consumption. And I don't mean to be stereotyping Oregon, but that would be a much more parsimonious explanation of such a dramatic cholesterol drop.
All right. And we've seen studies before showing, you know, cannabis users having lower body mass index and other measures like that, but nothing with respect to cholesterol?
It's curious because the data haven't been collected. Those BMI data tend to be that people are just more satisfied without having to suck down all the fat, which, I mean, I guess that could be an intriguing mechanism, but it would be a rather indirect way. And in truth, he would have had to lost like 30 pounds in order to have a weight-induced cholesterol drop like that. So I'm reluctant to hypothesize that it was just the cannabis.
Well, you know, I've started off on my own workout and diet program here over the past couple of weeks. And I guess one thing I can say anecdotally about marijuana smoking is that the munchies help healthy food taste better. I don't know if that's working for me or if anybody else can report that. Have you ever heard that?
It's not only that, it's also a great reward for your workout.
So oh.
If you make it riding on the bicycle contingent, it can be an ideal way to stick to your exercise program.
It absolutely is. All right. Question that I've got now having to do, you know, with the talk we hear from the prohibitionists lately, you know, they're trying to fight. In fact, there's a story I'm going to do in hour two that came off of the New York Times, where they're trying to find any disaster they can out of the marijuana legalization in Colorado. And of course, they're referring to market legalization since it's been, you know, possession's been legal for over a year now. And, you know, they talk about the kid that jumped off the balcony and the guy that, you know, killed his wife after eating an edible and all of that. But the latest stat that I keep hearing is that there are triple the drivers in fatal crashes with marijuana in their system. And, could you just tell us just how deadly dangerous the roads have become now that we've legalized marijuana?
Well, what's funny is the statistic we're not hearing about, which is what is the rate of fatal accidents?
Ah.
That would be the meaningful statistic, wouldn't it? If suddenly those were increased, then I would have a real argument. But to legalize something and then discover it in the systems of more people in any sample wouldn't be a big surprise. Mark Kleiman, who is not necessarily my favorite person in the world, heard about this and said, if you legalized ricotta, we'd find ricotta in more people in accidents too. The point is that it's just more common now because it's a tax and regulated market.
There we go. And that's what people need to understand. The comparison I've been making a lot lately is to say, you know, if we were to test people 20 years ago versus test them now, we would, or, you know, demographically, we would find very many more gay male married drivers now. because gay marriage is legal. now you can be a gay married driver. So yeah, it's one of these correlation things and shows absolutely no causation, but it kind of infuriated me reading the story that brought this up, where it led with the dangers of the terrible things that had happened. And it wasn't until paragraph 9 or 10 where they quoted the scientists saying, well, this is really all just correlational. We don't have any causation on this. It's just frustrating. Yeah,
and it's not even the relevant statistic. It's not even the thing that we'd be most interested in order to make the argument. It's just, what a surprise. More people have metabolites.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. I want to remind everyone, you can get your questions in to Dr. Mitch Earlywine every Monday here at 1:30 in our Cannabis Q&A segment through our chat room, calling in live at 971-533-7111. Or if you want to keep it private and just send the question to Dr. Mitch directly, you can use email by emailing 420research@gmail.com. I know that Normal just had the Normal Aspen Legal Seminar. I don't know if you were able to get out there, but can you give us any feedback on what happened up there?
It was delightful and actually generated some revenue for Normal, which we're always grateful for. And the attorneys are asking a completely different level of questions now. So it's not like it was even just a few years ago. The Colorado and Washington changes have really had a huge impact on everybody, and we're going to have a big board meeting at the end of this month to talk about further direction.
Yeah, I imagine now, Normal being around for over 40 years as an organization of criminal defense lawyers, now in two states, you're going to have to deal with civil and business aspects of the law. Is that the gist of the changes?
Well, and you know me, I'm a big fan of behavioral measures and not urine screens. Just what is it going to take in order to make sure that folks can go on the job, do the job right, and not be penalized for what they do when they're not on the job.
You know, and that reminds me to give you guys big thanks at Normal, and especially Paul Armentano, for your negotiations with Todd Mitchum and the Open Vape Company and getting them to agree to a performance-based impairment test. Some folks out there haven't heard of this, and they might be taking, you know, P tests to get jobs. Can you give them an idea what a performance-based test is like and why their employers should embrace that?
If you can imagine a behavioral test of any sort that would be a good predictor of how you're going to work on your job, that's what we want. And we're happy to do those at the beginning of every single shift rather than get a blood screen or a urine screen that's going to basically be prejudiced against those who are cannabis users. So if you've got a job that requires a certain number of tasks, you do comparable tasks on the computer, perform completely well, and you go right on to work. If you can't do that, whether it's from Benadryl or flu or fatigue, then you go home and you don't get paid. We're completely behind that. It's this idea that somehow THC metabolites in your urine mean you can't work that we want to dispute.
Mm. All right, one more question here, and it has to do with diet. I know a lot of people out here in the Pacific Northwest, out here in Portland, foodie paradise, and I drive around, and there's a pizza parlor just, you know, a few blocks away from my house that has gluten-free pizza, and that's a big buzzword here in Oregon, gluten-free, gluten-free. What is the state of the science on this? Are there a lot of people that really need these gluten-free diets, or is this some sort of fad?
The base rate, at least in the you know, Google Scholar type literature, the actual published peer reviewed journal, suggests that this is a 1% of the population issue. I think it's courteous and wonderful that we're having restaurants cater to these folks. And there's a subset of folks who claim that the diet really helps them up and beyond that 1%. So maybe there's a sort of subclinical, subacute condition that benefits from this. But in truth, it is nowhere near the estimates that some other folks are providing. But if it, you know, attracts folks to the restaurant, I completely understand.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us every Monday here on our Cannabis Q&A segment. Dr. Mitch, thanks for braving your dental work to join us today.
My pleasure, and looking forward to next week.
All right. When we come back, we'll get to that Radical Rant segment. We're going to get Joy Beckerman Marr on the phone from the Washington Hemp Industries Association and the Normal Women's Alliance. She'll tell us all about the upcoming Hemp History Week. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show. Stick around.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. We can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended the Shaolin Temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning out of the words, we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 51 after the hour, and you're enjoying our new theme songs. Everything is copyright free now in hour one, so that we can get ourselves on more outlets out there. But stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio, where we get back into our fully licensed music hour. We'll have our daily Toker Tunes break coming up at 4:20 Pacific time. But right now, we are joined on the telephone by a really good friend of mine, Joy Beckerman Marr, who's got so many titles it won't even fit on a business card. How you doing, Joy?
I'm doing great, Russ. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
So which one should we pick today? Is it Normal Women's Alliance, Washington Hemp Industries? Who are you today?
Let's go with President of the Washington State Chapter of the Hemp Industries Association.
Perfect. That'll work. Joy Beckerman Marr joins us, the president of the Washington State Hemp Industries Association. And, of course, this week is the fifth anniversary, the fifth annual celebration of Hemp History Week. Tell us about it.
Hemp History Week is a national grassroots campaign started by Vote Hemp and the Hemp Industries Association on a national level. And it involves letter writing, cabling. We have restaurants involved, retailers involved. And now we have lots of screening of the brand new award-winning industrial hemp documentary, Bringing It Home, which is a big part of this week's events all over the country.
Yeah, now this Bringing It Home, hour-long documentary, and tell us a little bit about that. What are we going to see in this film?
This film is amazing. Two females, Linda Booker and Fair Johnson, produced and directed this film. They went all over the United States. And it explores not only the history of industrial hemp in our country, but also its many uses, current technology, and future technology. And my favorite part is that it focuses quite a bit on hemp as a building material, as a carbon-negative, sustainable, healthy, superiorly performing building material.
Is that with the hempcrete and the press boards or all of it?
Yes, there's a big focus on hempcrete. We definitely touches upon other materials, but hempcrete is what I believe is going to take over the world as a construction material.
Yeah, it's just remarkable. I've seen some of the houses that have been built using hempcrete, and they talk about them being like an R48 insulation factor, being carbon negative, being completely recyclable. You can, you know, knock the house down and plow it under. It's amazing.
Or even better, knock it down, or mess it up, and put it back into the cycle of building materials after it wears out in 300 to 500 years. And that 48, that R value that you're talking about, that's probably with about a 24-inch or so a wall, with a 12-inch wall of hempcrete, we're getting an R29, which, as you know, is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And I've also heard it's resistant to rot and mildew, and it breathes. It's warm in the summer.
It's amazing. I love you for knowing all this. That's what you even need me for, you brilliant man. It is pest resistant, rot resistant, mold resistant, fire resistance. And by fire resistance, what I mean is for every hour of full-on engulfed in flames, we're talking about only a quarter of an inch that will burn, as opposed to the pink insulation, so to speak.
Yeah, just as a building material alone, hemp has so much promise for our future. But give us some of the other promising developments from hemp if we were to just fully legalize it.
Yay. Petrochemical. So I like to focus mostly on building materials and petrochemicals, although we could go on the old 50,000 products, and I will. But when we really start to understand that we can make bioplastic out of hemp, and that all of the things that we see that are plastic now that we're using that are petroleum-based plastics, we can replace with this much more sustainable and biodegradable material. And as I'm sure you know, way back in 1941, the December 1941 issue of Popular Mechanics shows us that hemp, Henry Ford built a car, not just out of hemp. There was about 5 different materials, all renewable resources, all biomass, all plant-based, but he built an entire car out of hemp plastic, and they called it the car that, quote, Ford grew out of the soil. And this was done at a time when you can read that magazine, not just in the article of it, which, of course, we all have access to, but I got the entire issue. And we were a nation of conservatives. And by that, I mean conservationists. And this was the war effort going on, and we wanted to save all of the metal and all of the plastic for the World War II effort. So there was an amazing abundance of a sustainable and alternative technology being developed. And way back then, they were basically starting to develop sustainable plastics way back then. And, of course, as we know, DuPont obtained the patent to make synthetic polymers of petroleum-based plastic, and that was one of the linchpins in the harmonic convergence that came together to create the Marijuana Tax Act. But when we talk about plastics, paint, sealers, varnishes, all of that stuff that we can replace, that's an amazing transformation that we're going to make on this planet when we can do that with industrial hemp.
Yeah, and just watching the Cosmos episode last night, detailing how we're headed for the future that Venus currently experiences, we need to do something right now. Hempcrete could be a big part of that. Hemp planting could be a big part of that, replacing these carbon-intensive fossil fuels. Now, before I forget, let's make sure everyone knows the screening of this movie. It's Bringing It Home. It's on June 7th. It's going to cost you $4, that's all. And it's got a hands-on exhibit before the film and an expert panel Q&A afterwards. You can go to hempmovieseattle.com for tickets there and more information, hempmovieseattle.com. And we've got just about a minute left here, Joy, before we go. Any other features of Hemp History Week you'd like to tell us?
Absolutely. And that is, thank you so much for announcing our Seattle events, but there are events happening in every community across the country, and folks can please go to hemphistoryweek.com and click on events, put in their zip code or their state, and click find an event near you. So hemphistoryweek.com, get involved. This is the week, guys, and this is our year.
Yeah, and hemp is a great way to get people who are skittish about the marijuana issue to have some understanding of something they can stand for boldly without fearing, too much reprisal, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's a completely separate cultivar. There's the oilseed and fiber variety cultivar of the genus and species Cannabis sativa, and then there's the drug cultivar, which we commonly know as marijuana. I can't make anything with the marijuana stocks, but I can with the industrial hemp stocks, so I really am tickled and appreciative when people ask, because they are that different. Please, everyone just needs to educate themselves about the entire species, and Hemp History Week is the week to learn about industrial hemp.
All right. Thank you so much, Joy Becker and Marr with Washington State Hemp Industries Association. We'll see you up there around Seattle soon.
Can't wait. Thank you, Ron.
All right. Thank you. That's all the time we got for Hour 1, but stay tuned. Hour 2 is coming up next. Toker Talk Radio, where we let our hair down, loosen our ties, and play copyrighted music. For everyone here at 420 Radio and Priscilla Solis, I'm Radical Russ.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
For everyone here at 420 Radio, thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You take a scene, you manage, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a scene, you manage.